This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. You know, when I think in my life about how many people pointed out different parts of me that maybe I would consider taking a look at or changing, that word change was a little bit of an area that I was resistant to. Can men really change? I know there's a lot of people that have a lot to say about this. And if we can, what do we need to change most? My next guest knows a lot about the issues of psychology and change. He is both a clinical psychologist and a marriage and family therapist. He's also executive director of LaVie Counseling Centers. And he just got back from a visit to Angola Prison. And we're going to talk about, can men really change, with Dr. Mark Baker. Mark, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show on KKLA.
Hey, Frank, good to talk with you as always. It's really good to be back and talk about important things.
Tell us about why were you invited to go to Angola Prison of all places?
It's really an interesting story. As you know, I'm the director of a Christian counseling center here in L.A., and I write books trying to help people change their lives, to help them live healthier lives. And I'm writing a book on transformation. You know, what really helps people change and transform? And we know that Jesus can come into our lives and transform us. But what is that process? How do we help people do that? How do we help Christians who've already accepted Jesus to transform and grow beyond that? How do we help people who we're married to who are not Christians change? So in writing this book, I became aware of Angola Prison. This is the largest maximum security prison in the United States, and 20 years ago, it was the most brutal prison in the United States. Guys there would have to team up to sleep through the night. One guy would sleep half the night and stay awake, and the other guy would sleep the other half of the night, and the other guy stay awake to keep from getting stabbed in their sleep. I mean, this was a brutal, awful place, as many prisons are in the United States today. And people know this. If you've done prison ministry, it's a brutal place. Today, Angola Prison is one of the safest prisons in the country. And I had to go and see it for myself. And so I contacted the warden, told him I was writing this book, and told him I'd written other Christian books on transformation. And because he's a Christian, he invited me to come and see it for myself. And so I went. I spent a week in there. I was in the prison with these guys, and it was amazing what I saw there. It was amazing. In order to be imprisoned at Angola, you have to have murdered someone, raped someone, or committed armed robbery. So these people have done bad, bad things. 90% of these guys will die there because they're serving life sentences. So these guys who've really, really lived bad lives. And what I witnessed when I went there are guys who are truly transformed. I had this one meeting with a group of guys. The warden brought me in there inside the prison. We walked around inside the prison, no guard with us. We were just walking around with the guys. He said, I want you to hear stories from guys. And he set me up with a meeting with seven guys, put me in a room with these seven guys, and he said, I want you to know they're telling the truth, so I'm going to leave. So the warden leaves, and he leaves me sitting there with these seven murderers, right? And the door closed. I didn't know if any guard could hear me if I was going to yell and need help. And I was scared, you know, for the first few minutes until they started telling me their stories of personal transformation. As they went around the room, by the end of the hour I spent listening to these guys, I felt completely safe.
Now, I want to hear some of the reasons why they were in a position of transforming, but right, I have to ask the question that people listening right now, we have a certain degree of cynicism whenever we hear something about prison or prison reform. So the question is, are they really changed, or are they just kind of putting on an act to get to the warden or get the benefits of prison?
That's a great question, because they answered that question for me as I was sitting there. And as they're going around the room, one of the guys said, you know, I don't blame you if you were to doubt whether or not we're telling you the truth. Are we just doing this so that the warden will give us prison benefits? He said, but here's something you got to know about prison life. You can't fake it. Because this isn't like Sunday morning Christianity, where we can go and all act Christian and then we go back to our homes and do whatever we want. After I've shared the gospel with somebody, this one guy told me, he said, I go back to my prison bunk and that guy's in my dorm with me. And so I live 24/7 with these guys, and there's no fake anything here. You have to be real here, or you could get killed for being fake. And he says, if I'm sharing the gospel with a guy at 2, I may be sitting next to him at a toilet on a toilet at 3. And so, believe me, these people check out whether or not you're walking your talk. And what I found there is probably a more honest and more genuine spirituality than I see in many churches today, because these guys can't leave it on the pew. They have to live it.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. So in a matter of speaking, because they've lost so much, the climate is they have nothing to lose, along the lines of really owning up to past transgressions and taking responsibility and moving forward, versus us out here. We live in such a world of distraction. We can just say, well, why would I do that today when I can do it tomorrow, next week, or next month?
Right. Yeah, for them, that's a very good point. All material distractions have been removed. So all they've got left is, how do you want to live your life? How do you want to live your life? And here's the thing. These guys are never going to get out. So what's their motivation for change? What's their motation to be better, to live more moral lives? And there's only one motivation, because it is better to live that way. And here's the interesting thing. Now, the warden's a Christian, so he's got 8 chapels within the prison. He's got 200 ministers who are prison ministers. There is a seminary in the prison where these prisoners can get seminary degrees, and then they go out into the prison. There's 6,000 guys there, and these guys now minister the other guys in the prison. And the transformation there is real, because like I said, you know, they're actually living it out. But there are guys there, many of them, who are not Christian. They don't become Christian, but they change, because they see that living the way the Christians are living is a better way to live. And I've talked with several guys there who are not Christians, but they're more moral men because they're living day in and day out alongside of men who are living moral lives, and they have come to see the image of God in them has helped them come to see it's a better way to live. And this, I think, gives us hope for those of us, say, who are married to non-Christians, that you can actually affect the moral quality of the life of the person you're living with if you live out the life that Jesus has planned out for us to live. And it actually rubs off and changes people around you. I've seen it. Seen it with my own two eyes.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. Mark, we've got a couple of minutes. When we continue in the second segment, I want to talk about men as a whole and our resistance to change, and what do we need to take a look at in terms of changing. But the last question I have is, it applies to Angola. So if you could pick one area that you can take with you in your understanding of what they have in Angola prison, and you can bring it more into the counseling of who you see day in and day out at La Vie, what type of insights did you bring?
Well, there are a couple, but I think maybe the thing that stands out the most is leadership. That what men need to change is good leadership. And what good leadership is not control, but it's authority. That men, when they submit to authority, that changes them. When men get underneath a leader who leads by example, who leads by inspiration, who leads by spiritual inspiration of our hearts, we follow that. We want to follow that. And when we try to control others, that's bad leadership. And we change when we submit ourselves to good leadership, the kind of leadership that God has designed the world to function best with. And that's the thing that just leaped out at me. There's this guy, Warden Cain, who came there and just led by example. He said, this is how we're going to behave. If you swear, he tells all his guards, if you swear at a prisoner, I'm going to fire you. We are going to lead by example.
Wow.
You treat these men with respect. You treat them like they're made in the image of God, and they will act better. And here, 20 years later, it's one of the safest prisons in the country. It's amazing.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. He starts a lecture series next month entitled Men Can Really Change. He's sharing about some of the insights that he had while visiting Angola State Prison, which is a prison that at one time really was one of maximum security. And now Mark is sharing that, let's just say it's safe to say, things have changed quite a bit. When we continue, what do we as men need to take a look at changing? Where are our areas of resistance? I mean, this is something I think that speaks to many of us, and we'll have an open, candid conversation with my guest, Dr. Mark Baker, next.
Call the Frank Sontag Show on the Azusa Pacific University phone lines at 888-995-5552.
This is the Frank Sontag Show. We're talking about, well, we as men, and can we change, and do we resist the idea of change? Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. He's a clinical psychologist and also an MFT. He's with LaVie Counseling Centers and recently got back from Angola prison where he saw with his own eyes men can really change. And he says God is doing miracles in Angola. So, Dr. Mark, let's talk about God doing miracles in our lives as men. So I guess the first question is, do we resist the whole idea of changing?
We do. All people do. We tend to be stubborn and resist change, but men in particular, for us, why do we resist change? And I think the reason we do is because we try to go it alone. Men try to be loners. Many of us did not have good relationships with our fathers. It's almost an epidemic in our country today where men do not have a close relationship with their dads who fathered them into adulthood. And so that means that we tend to resist having good mentor relationships. And so we end up thinking we got to go it alone. We view other men as men that we, as guys we need to compete with, not be in community with. And when we try to go it alone, then we harden and we resist change. We become hard-headed. And for us as men, then, we think it's more important to be right than it is to be relational. And that gets us into trouble. We only change through relationship. You're not going to do it on your own. God did not make us to be lone rangers. But because of the crisis of fathering and the difficulty we have in submitting ourselves to mentors, men feel like we need to go it alone, and boy, do we get into trouble when we do that.
Now, we could talk more about how we get into trouble. We can talk about areas that maybe we need to change, but here's where I'd like to go in the remaining moments of this segment. You have worked with men and women and married couples, mm-hmm. lots at LaVie Counseling Centers.
Right.
And I think if we hear a story or two of someone that came in, a man that came in broken, in denial, whatever it is, and the work that went through with you and he and his willingness and what happened on the end, if you will, the transformation, that maybe somebody listening right now can relate to, you know, I think it's time. I'm tired of living like this. I want to change. I want to give God the ability and the glory to transform my life.
There are many, many examples of exactly that. There are a number of examples I've got, because I've been doing this for years, where men who were drugged into counseling by their wives. I can't tell you the number of guys who've come in the first session, they got their arms crossed, they're looking out the window, and the only reason they're there is because their wife told them they had to be there. And they feel like they can figure it out on their own, they don't need some other guy to tell them what their problems are, they already know what their problems are, and they're already starting off with this non-relational attitude. It's that I'm a lone ranger, I should be able to figure this out. They consider it a weakness to need help from anyone else. And so coming to counseling for them, their only reason they're coming is because their wife is making them come. And I'm thinking of a case right now, a big guy, successful at his job, but their marriage was in serious trouble. I mean, actually, she had called an attorney just before she came and brought him in. She thought, well, you know, I'm going to give this one shot because of all the offenses I won't go into that led her up to that, but she'd made that decision. And this guy turned out, he's a good guy, he's a sensitive guy, actually, but he's got this hard exterior that feels like I've worked my way up from the bottom of my company by coming up with right answers and solving problems by myself. And for me to open up to another person, another guy in front of my wife, he thought was something that would be shameful. And over the course of the last year, they've been in marriage counseling for me for a year, this guy has softened, and he's opened up, and he's decided that actually, now it's not a weakness to need help. It's actually part of his designed nature is to need something greater than him outside himself. And to receive counsel from another man, he now sees as a resource in his life. Their marriage is transformed. A year ago, this woman was thinking about leaving him. They didn't have any kids. And we talked this week about her having a baby with him. She feels so safe with this guy because he's now realized that what I need to do is soften my heart to depend on not only another counselor, me, but depend on my wife and to talk about his emotions and to be a man of community now. They've actually gotten into a Bible study where he's starting to share his story with other men. So I've seen it happen, where men can soften. They can go from this stubborn attitude of I'd rather be right than relational, to shift. And now when we talk, we say, it's not whether, when they fight, it's not whether or not one of the two of them is correct. The issue is, are they connecting? That's the issue. It's not being correct. It's being connected. And once they get that, that our fundamental nature is to relate first to God and then to each other, I see men transform. Mm.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. Mark, we've got a couple of minutes. There may be men listening right now that aren't in relationship, and hopefully they have enough honesty within themselves, at the very least, where they say, you know, I want to do some inventory. I want to maybe take a look at changing my life a bit, and I know I need some help. Speak to them, and then obviously I'll give the information as to how anyone can contact you in our conclusion here.
All right. We also work with a number of men I have over the years who are single guys. I've done a lot of that work. I've done it with men who have doubts about their sexuality. We deal with that a lot at Libby Christian Counseling Center. Men come in and, you know, they're confused. They get all these confusing messages from our world about sexuality, and we help them sort that out. And if you don't have a place that's safe for you to really process these very vulnerable and deeper issues, you're going to get in trouble in our world today, because you need a compass, you need direction. And I strongly encourage men to be in a men's group. There are good churches around the area that where they can talk openly and honestly about the issues in their life. And if they can't do that, then that's what we do in counseling. We have men come in and really get honest. And you've got to be able to be honest with yourself, with God, and with another human being in order for you to change. You're not going to do it on your own. Those messages we got from our fathers where we need to just be tough and rugged and that boys don't cry, men don't cry. I mean, my dad told me that. I'm glad they put GPSs in cars, because now I don't have to stop and ask anybody for direction. You know, I mean, for years my wife gave me grief about that, you know, because I won't need anything from anybody, right? And we can change that. We can allow ourselves to need others and have it not be a shameful thing, but be a resource for strength, because we are fundamentally created by God to be relational. Amen. If we fight that ontological created way that we are, we're not going to live, we're not going to thrive, we're not going to live to our fullest.
Dr. Mark Baker is Executive Director of Levy Counseling Centers. Next month he starts a lecture series called Men Can Really Change. If you would like to reach out for help, whether you're a man, woman, or in relationship, LevyCounseling.org is the website. Levy is L-A-V-I-E, LevyCounseling.org. You can also find out more about Dr. Mark at drmarkbaker.com. Mark, thank you once again for being on the program, and I look forward to the next time, and thank you for the good work that you do at Levy Counseling Centers.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for your ministry as well. It's always good talking with you, Frank.
God bless you.
You too.